press on toward what God has for us in the future. Amen. Don't even, can I take it just a step further? Don't even get caught up on living on last year's blessing or last week's blessing or last week's anointing. God says, I have a fresh and new anointing. I've got places to take you to that you've never been before. First Chronicle chapter 4. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good, ain't he? He's a good God. Bear with me. Verse 1. The sons of Judah, Pharez, Hezron, Carmi, and Hur, and Shubal. Rehi, the son of Shubal, begat. Everybody say begat. Oh no, it's the dreaded begats. Shubal begat Jahath, and Jahath begat Ahumai. Man, I know I've got myself in it now, haven't I? And Lahad. These are the families of the Zorathites. These were the father of Etam, Jezreel, and Ishma, and Idbosh, and the name of their sister was Hazel. Hazel rides a pony. You know, you wonder where they came up with some of these names. Amen. We won't go there. We have some unusual names today. Amen. Okay, verse 4. And Peniel, the father of Gedor, and Azur, the father of Hushah. These are the sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephratah, the father of Bethlehem. And Asher, all right. The father of Tekoa had two wives, Helah and Narah. Sounds like an Asher. Y'all will get it later. My fifth great grandfather, most of y'all know I am an Asher, and my fifth great grandfather was the first settler in Redbird. His name was Dylan Asher. I'm telling you a true story. I don't know if this part is true or not, but legend has it that he cleared the bottom land where the city of Pineville is. And he had a toll booth here at the toll booth at the bridge here between Knoxville and Lexington. First toll booth between Knoxville and Lexington. They called it the Cumberland Ford. That part I don't know if it's true or not, but I do know he was the first settler in Redbird. And the cabin he built in the 1700s is still there. Becca and them know where that is, at the campus of the school, the cabin that Dylan Asher built. And you know this story, okay? But anyway, when he settled in Redbird in the 1700s, no one lived there. And so he took his wife with him, and she said, the only way I'll go is if you take my sister also. She has to go too, because he said she didn't want to be over there by herself. And so you can read this. It's recorded. He had 12 children with his wife and 10 with her sister. I guess it's okay to say that in the pulpit. It's just history. So when I read that there, and it said, Asher, father had two wives. Verse 6, and Narah bare him Zuham, and Ephur, and Timani, and Hash, Terar. These were the sons of Narah, and the sons of Helah were Zereth, and Jizar, and Ethan. And Kaz begat Anub, and the families. All right, we're going to go to 9. You're probably sitting there thinking, why in the world did Pastor read all those? I'm going to tell you in just a second. How many would say what I just read, the first few verses just sounded like a lot of really nothing? It's okay, you know. It really just sounded like just history and nothing really major. And then we come to verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I have bare him with sorrow. And Jabez called. Everybody say called. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, y'all, many of you are familiar with this prayer. Several years ago, there's a little book that floated around called The Prayer of Jabez. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. And enlarge, everybody say enlarge. And enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Now, what I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes this morning is more than a begat. Amen? More than a begat. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the anointings in you. We thank you for healing power in this room this morning, for testimony of healing. And Father, we just ask you to add your blessing to your word right now. Let it speak to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Now, you know, we can read about history as one of says history. And we, you know, we read of the begats. And there's things to be gleaned at times from the begats. But oftentimes it's nothing more than just the generations of history that have been passed down. But Brent, I think it's so, do you realize that in all the chapters, in 45 verses in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, 40 of those verses, roughly 40 of those verses, were just nothing more than begats. But then we have this man called Jabez. Amen. Now what I want to talk to you about is God wants you to be more than just a begat. God wants you to impact the community, the surroundings that you live in. But now, in order for that to happen, you got to move out of your comfort zone. Amen? Now, how many will get it? We all of us have a comfort zone. You know, how many will say there's places that I like to be that I feel more comfortable. And if I get outside of that and I get into other areas, I feel a little bit out of my comfort zone. I feel, you know, it's kind of like a redneck in Chicago. How many's ever been to Chicago? New York City. Do you feel a little uncomfortable walking down the streets of Chicago or New York City? You know, I'm sure if you live there long enough, you become more adapt. You would adapt more to their culture, and you would feel more comfortable. But if you go right now, and in all probability, you're gonna feel uncomfortable. And there's nothing wrong with having a comfort zone until it comes into your spiritual life. Now, when you become comfortable spiritually, and you don't, and I believe I'm preaching to everybody in this room this morning, and myself included. And you become complacent with where you are, and you don't think that there's any more of God for you or anything that you can step into that's greater than what you've already experienced. And then you're in trouble because you're less apt to pray. You're less apt to read the word. You're less apt to fellowship with God because you become comfortable with your surroundings, and there's no challenge for you to step outside of those surroundings and to step into something greater. I believe that Jabez was not content in where he was, and he wanted something greater in his life. He wanted to see God do something very powerful in his life. That's why we have tucked in the middle of 1 Corinthians 4 and Jabez. Amen? Look what it says. Look what it says. And Jabez was more honorable. Everybody say honorable. It also means famous. He was more famous than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in sorrow. Do you realize that he had to overcome what his name was? Amen. Son of my sorrow. Now, I tell you, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and this is a word for those that are watching by television. You know, so many people get caught up in something that has happened in their past, and they use their past as a crutch to never move forward into their future, and they dwell, they continue. Satan has them bound up and controlled by what happened in their past, and they never reach their destiny and the plan that God has for their life because they're living in the past. I'm going to tell you something. It's time for us to forget those things which are behind and press on toward what God has for us in the future. I mean, don't even, can I take it just a step further? Don't even get caught up on living on last year's blessing or last week's blessing or last week's anointing. God says, I have a fresh and new anointing. I've got places to take you to that you've never been before. Amen? How many's ready to go there? If you're ready to go there, say amen. We have nothing more than the genealogy of the nation of Israel. But we should never get satisfied. We should be willing to rise above the crowd. Amen? To rise above the begats. You know, Jabez was a giant among miniatures, spiritually speaking. But oftentimes we get content, Dwayne, to live like everybody else around us. You know, wouldn't it be a sad thing to consider that your life would just be just a few begats and then you died? And you really didn't leave your mark on the world. You never affected anybody around you. You never had an impact for the kingdom of God. But God is calling you and God is challenging you to say it's time for you to realize that what your place is and who you are in the body of Christ. Amen. It's not just about those standing in the pulpit. It's not just about me and Justin and Brandon and Dwayne, or others that may stand in this pulpit, Joe Farmer. It's not just about the worship team and those that lead worship. I'm declaring right now and I'm speaking to you as your pastor. It's time for you to realize who you are and the dominion that you have as a child of God. He created you to walk in dominion, to take authority over every hindering spirit in your life and be the church of the living God and take the storm the gates of hell and do something for the cause of Christ. Can somebody give God praise? Come on, can you give him praise? We need to be a history maker. How many is it possible they could write a book about you? I mean, like to, you know, if the Lord tarries in 10 years, 10 years after you're gone, do you want them just to look at you in a picture book and say, you know, see, there's old James. You know, or would you like people to say there's books written about this guy? Come on, where's our faith at? Is God the same? Can God do in us what he did in John Wesley? Can God do in us what he did in Smith Wigglesworth and all these great, is God able to do, you know what God, all God's looking for is a surrendered vessel. All he's looking for is somebody that says, God, I want you more than I want anything else. Amen. I'm telling you, you have to realize who you are in the body of Christ and don't just depend on others around you. Is this all right? Jabez had a problem. What was his problem? As again, some people use things from their past as a crutch. We may say, I had too many problems to do anything for God. His mother named him Jabez, which literally means son of my sorrow. It means pain and affliction, or he will cause pain. Many would take a name like that and they figure they were doomed from the start. You know, there's no hope. There's no reason. They would do everything in their power to say, well, I lived up to my name. That's what my mother named me, so I guess I just lived up to my name. But I'm saying, you know, Jabez didn't take that, Randy. He flipped it around and says, I am not going to be what my name is, but I'm going to do something to change this. Amen? Amen. Are you with me? You know, I'm trying to move on, but you know, people use, and I realize there's things that are difficult in life. You know, we go through stuff, but you know, there comes a point in time when you just got to shake that off and say, guess what? I'm going on. I'm moving on. I've seen people that they come from a divorced home, or I've seen people that had things happen in their childhood, and I'm not trying to minimize that. Don't think that I am. I'm not, because it's difficult. Those are difficult situations. But you know, again, there comes a point in time you say, this is not going to affect me anymore. I'm going to put this behind me, and I'm going to go on and be who God wants me to be. And get out of this cycle. Oh, God help us. I'm going to try to be good here. I'm going to try to preach you the word. But there's so many people in the mountains of eastern Kentucky, in Appalachian, that have just gotten caught up in this cycle. Amen. You know, there was no success with their father. There was no success with their grandfather. And it's just a cycle. I'm telling you, it's time for the cycle to be broken. The church has gotten into a cycle. We come to church every Sunday and we hear 3 or 4 or 5 songs. And then we go back home. But we're not changing anything in our community. God help us to break out of the cycle and not just be dependent upon a church service every, oh hallelujah, I'm about to preach, not just to be dependent upon a church service every Sunday morning, but to be the church 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When I wake up on Monday and my feet hit the floor, I am the church of the living God. I operate in power. God has set me free. I have resurrection power. I'm not waiting for the preacher to preach power to me on Sunday morning. I'm going to use the power that God has given me. Ooh, are you with me? A cycle. It's time. Randy, it was nothing but a cycle. He begat him and he begat him. And all of a sudden somebody says, I'm breaking out of this cycle. Guess what? In 2013, when Pastor Odie Carroll reads this text, he's not going to say, and Jabez begat who, or whoever. He's going to read something different about me. Because I'm going to have an impact. Do you realize? Let me give you a little history here. When this was written, Israel had taken the land of Canaan, but there were still some areas that they had not captured. What are you saying, Pastor? They got in there and then they settled. The church has crossed over and moved into Canaan, but oftentimes we settle. This is good enough. If I can get my prayer language, I'm okay. When the scripture says you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be witnesses in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying the church needs to operate in power. And cast out demonic spirits. And listen to me. Anything that don't glorify God should be out. I spoke to our leadership this morning. Be careful what you watch on TV. Be careful what you watch on TV. Oh, I'm telling you, be careful what you watch on TV. I don't care if it's a program about a church service. Can I preach you the truth? If it don't glorify God, don't be entertained by it. If it's against the scripture, and if it's against the word of God, don't be entertained by it. If it don't give glory to God, don't be entertained by it. Amen? Leadership, are you with me? If you're with me, say amen. All right. He overcame his problem. All I'm saying is that we have the ability. Listen to this statement. We have the ability to rise above because of the power of God. Amen? What are you saying, Pastor? We can rise above drug addiction. We can rise above poverty. We can rise above sickness. We can rise above bondage. Oh, is anybody hearing me this morning? We don't have to live that way. You know, I preached it to you before. I think I preached it to you before. But you know what? The church oftentimes, and I'm just trying to tell you the truth, we are like the Beverly Hillbillies. Amen? Let me tell y'all a story about a man named Jed. Come on. Then one day, come on. And then
California's flesh-colored face of the loaded up truck
Swimming pools, movie stars. Where's the banjo? We need a banjo. Can you play a banjo? We need a banjo. And what are you saying, Pastor? Listen to me. Tell you a story about a man named Jed, a poor mountaineer, just barely keeping his family fed. Just barely making it. Just barely hanging on. And he goes out there and he's shooting at some food. He's trying to kill something to eat and he hits oil. Oh, we're in the big time now. Oh, help me, Jesus. So the kinfolk says, this is not you no more. You're no longer poor. You need to go to California. You know, you're a millionaire. Okay? Well, what do? They load up all that stuff on the truck. And they take it. Oh, Jesus. They take it to the promised land. They take all that junk to Canaan. They take all that junk to Canaan, and you're seeing little old granny sitting up there on her rocking chair, amen, and they're riding down the interstate going to Beverly Hills, California with all the stuff. And then they get to Beverly Hills, and they have no idea, folks, and I know it pokes fun at mountain folk. I know it's basically, any show you see on TV basically does, if it's about us, for the most part. But it's what it's doing, but they get there, Brandon, and they're living in this mansion, and they don't even know what they have. It's a cement pond. You know, they got a swimming pool. It's a cement pond. And they say, I wonder why every time we hear that dinging, and someone's at the door. Yeah. Every time we hear it, someone's at the door. And see, are we any different as a church? God is saying, I'm taking you to Canaan. I'm giving you power, but you're loading up all that stuff, all that baggage from the past. Amen. And listen to me. And we've got little granny sitting up on top of the truck and she's rocking about last year's past. And God said, I've already been there. I've already been in the rocking chair. And now I want to take you somewhere else. I want to take you I want to set you in a king's throne. I want to get you out of the rocking chair and I want to put you are kings and priests unto God. It's time to come out of the past. It's time to realize who we are in the church. Oh, come on. Somebody needs to give him praise this morning. We are the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Is anybody with me? Go with what God has blessed the church with. You are king's kids. Amen. You know, do you realize when it said Jesus, when they had that is written on his side, it said King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was talking about us. Oh, if you got that or not. He is the King of Kings. Oh, somebody just got it. All we know is over all those worldly kings. They just have titles. Oh, you got to get that word. We are kings and priests, and he is our ultimate king. He is the King of Kings. Amen. Are you with me? I said, he is the King of Kings, and it's time for us to operate in the kingship that he has placed upon the church and not just be a begat and someday wake up and when your time comes to go and you've done nothing more. Don't carry the junk with you. Get rid of the past. Get rid of the past. Be done with it. All right, let me try to hurry here and close. Where's my piano man? Come on up, Mr. Scott. Jabez prayed for power. I won't be long, I promise. Look at his prayer. Verse 10, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. You know another word for coast? Listen to me. This is a word, and I hope you get this word. Another word for coast is borders or territories. It's time for us to expand our territory. Some of us, we've drawn a little circle, and we've gotten inside, and we said, this is me where I'm at in the church. God's saying you need to expand your territory. You need to push you outside of that circle. You need to take more ground. Amen. Enlarge my borders. Enlarge my territory. It's time for the church to say in Bell County, Kentucky, enlarge our territory. Enlarge our borders. The enemy's, how many will agree the enemy's taking too much ground? Enemy's taking too much of our territory. He's taking too much of our borders. Amen. It speaks of a boundary, a territory, a limited space. Jabez asked the Lord to expand who he was and not to be content like others. He wanted more. Everybody say more. Everyone would agree with me that today, too often times, we settle for weak, powerless lives as Christians. And it's time for us to move forward, to take some ground. And the enemy's trying to take ground. And he's trying to take our families. Amen. So if we'll move, if we move forward, his hand will be upon us. So, you know, I guess the real issue here, and there's a whole lot more things in my notes, but I want to really go straight to the point here. I guess the real issue here is, have we become complacent in who we are and our walk with God? What's that saying? Complacency breeds what? Say it. You get complacent, all of a sudden, you become content where you are. But I'm trying to challenge you to step out of where you are. Amen? And to step into something greater for God. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hand. Are you satisfied with the growth of the church? It's a good question, ain't it? Are you satisfied with the spiritual level of the church? These are good questions. Are you satisfied with the outreach of the church? Amen? I think they're worth pondering on. Amen? So, and then what about in your own life? Are you satisfied with where you are? Or are you growing like you should? It's time for us to grow spiritually. Amen? I heard it saying, what really matters, they put the thing, and I think I've got them here. Yeah, I want to share one closing with you. Wanda and I shared these with Wanda the other day. Some epitaphs. But how many's heard a preacher talk about, when they put on your tombstone, Randy, it doesn't really matter so much of what date you were born and the date you died. What really matters is that little dash in between. In the middle. What did you do with your life? Amen? Anybody with me? Let me give you some funny epithets in closing. And you think about what they might put on your tombstone. Under the sod, under the trees, lies the body of Bolivar Pease. Pease ain't here, only the pod. Pease shelled out and went home to God. This one was on an attorney's tombstone. These are actuals. His name was John Goembel. He died in 1946. The defense rests. Here lies Johnny Yeast. Pardon me for not rising. A New Mexico auctioneer, born in 1828 to 1876. Going, going, gone. I like this one. Stop, stop, stranger, as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be, so be prepared to follow me. Later, someone scratched under it. And this goes so hand in, oh gosh, I'm telling you, I know these are humorous, but listen, this goes so hand in hand with our word this morning. To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. Somebody scratched that under it. William H. Hahn, Jr., I told you I was sick. That's funny, ain't it? I'm sorry. That's just funny. I told you I was sick. He had to be from Eastern Kentucky. or Virginia. No, sorry. Mel Blanc, the voice of Looney Tunes. What do y'all think he put? What's on his tombstone? It's true. That's all, folks. And one more. Here lies an atheist. All dressed up and no place to go. You know, I know those are funny and humorous, but it's something to think about. What kind of mark are you going to leave in life, you know? What are you doing, you know, that's going to change what's around you and, you know, what kind of impact are you going to have on other people? Amen. Let's stand together. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. How many says you received the word? How many say you don't want to be just a begat? Nate, you're going to be more than a begat. Amen. You're going to do more than just be history. You're going to be a history maker. Let's pray that prayer to somebody. Say, Lord, make me a history maker, that I would change the culture around me, the people around me would be affected by my life and the way I live and the things that I do and what I believe. Help me to operate in the power that has been granted unto me by your word. I receive it. Now from this day forward, help me to move forward in the kingdom of God and to operate by kingdom principles, to speak, to rule, and to legislate, and to make a difference in Jesus' name. Everybody give the Lord a hand of praise.